All right, let's see what's most important on when you study your Bible. Okay, and the most important thing to study, to know about studying your Bible, is the source of your information. Okay, and what I write that down is what Bible to use. Now, we'll talk about more of this later, but this is your source of truth. There are counterfeit Bibles out there. There are problems in many translations, if not most, in the world. And there are many people who try to study their Bible, but they've got the wrong Bible to study from. Jesus said that his very words would always be here. Matthew 24:35. Do you remember what that says, Killian?
Pardon?
Do you remember what Matthew 24:35 says? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So if that's true, then you should be able to get his words anytime. Somewhere.
It comes in Mark 13 also. Last verse in Mark 13.
Yes. So you've got a promise by Jesus that the Word of God will always be here. That's called preservation. He inspired his Word, but he preserved his Word. So you need to find it. Now usually you're going to find them in Hebrew. You're going to find them in Greek. You're not going to find them in German. You're going to have to find somebody who did it right in German. Just because it says Bible on it doesn't mean that it is the Bible. So we'll talk about more of that later. So let me just say, if I had a Bible that, like in the NIV actually says that David's brother killed Goliath. And that's not true. Your King James Bible says David's brother killed Goliath's brother. But the NIV opted for a different thing and opted for a different manuscript and said, oh no, whatever his name was, David's brother killed Goliath. And so when you have wrong information in your Bible, you're going to learn lies. If I picked up a science book and they had pictures of drawings, let me just put it this way, of all the different transition animals that are transitions between, you know, amoeba and man. And you looked at it and you believed the pictures, but they didn't tell you these are what we think are the transitions between single-celled amoebas all the way to men. Because there are no transitional animals. There are none. But because they draw them out, if you have a science book that says these are the transitional animals, you'll think, oh, I guess they are there. And they're lying to you. So your source of truth has to be a good, right Bible. Secondly, study takes both effort and, here's your words, consistency. When you study the Bible, you can't just find a verse and then walk away and think that was enough. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 14. And here's your word. Now, I'll give you a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But continue, that's your key word. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You've known this for a while. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All right, I get my doctrine. Do I only get doctrine once? No, I'm constantly learning new doctrine. I'm constantly learning doctrine. For reproof? No, I'm constantly being reproved by the Bible. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, righteous living, that the man of God ultimately may be perfect. Truly furnished unto all good works. So it involves with being consistent in your Bible study. You got to keep at it. Some people have a little phase that they go through and they're studying their Bible. And then they fall out of that phase and they stop studying it. That's a bad thing. Go to John chapter 8, verse 31. then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He's speaking to believers, yes or no? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So it's possible to be a Christian, to be saved, and not a disciple. And if you want to study the Bible, you got to continue at it. That's the we're talking about what people don't want to know, and that is it takes work to study your Bible. Remember taking algebra class? It was unnatural to learn. It just didn't come naturally. But we had to learn it. And the only way to learn was just to keep plowing ahead step by step and continuing in it. And you do learn it after a while, don't you? Number C. There are many, many good Bible study tools and helps. There's an English concordance. I'm sure they have it in lots of different languages and stuff. But we have one called James Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Do you have a concordance, a proper one, or you only use it at the end of your Bible?
I have a Strong number concordance.
Okay, on your iPad?
In my Bible.
Oh, okay. But it's nice to have Strong's concordance because you can actually see. Do you know what a concordance looks like, Romeo?
At the back of references.
There are good. That's a pretty good one there. There are there's smaller ones, but it's nice to have one that is complete. It's a lot of work, but you can get it on the computer. They have Bible programs that have it for free. They have the concordance, so you just search in and you find the Strong's number in the Greek or the Hebrew, but also you find out how many times and where it's used. Number two, if you do get an English dictionary, make sure you get an older one, because the new ones don't really translate the Bible words correctly. They translate them like people think. A Bible handbook. They explain customs, Bible customs and weights, and coins, and the background on different people, places and cultures. How do you know what Nineveh was like if you don't have a Bible handbook telling you what they found out about Nineveh and the kind of awful things they did there? What do you know about Babylon? The Bible doesn't tell you all that background. Doesn't have to. You just got the idea. All right, Babylon was pretty bad, and you know some things. But a Bible handbook will go into all the archaeology and tell you really some good stuff, tell you about the culture. There are great Bible study programs like eSword. I have eSword for my Mac. I tell you, it's absolutely brilliant. I think it's the best program. Some people use a thing called Accordance, and it's very expensive. It's supposed to be the best of the best, but I can't afford it. And then there are Bible commentaries as well, who are basically people giving you their opinions, and a lot of them you can learn from. But those are, listen, to study your Bible, there's nothing wrong with having some helps. Number D. Doing is more important than just knowing. Luke chapter 8. All right, Luke 8:15. Let's see. That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it. That doesn't mean keep it to themselves, but it means they do it. And they bring forth fruit with patience. So it's not only a good thing to learn and to hear the Bible, but if you're going to learn the Bible, you need to do it. It's too easy to learn something in the Bible. You will only deceive yourself if you live by just hearing. James 1:22.
James coming after?
Hebrews.
After the end.
Yeah. And James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, because who are you fooling? You're only deceiving your own self." All right, so you live what you find God doing, God telling you to do. That's why Martin Luther was a great man. He didn't understand everything, but what he understood, he acted on. Some people really find fault with him. I don't find a lot of fault with him. I disagree with much of what he concludes about the Mass and about baptism. But he was just doing what he understood, and that was amazing to me. So I read John Knox, and I read about John Calvin, and I find all these people. And they were just acting on what they understood. If you watch me long enough, you'll see that I don't have it all figured out either. I'm just trying to do my best what I find in the Bible. And God honors your motive. God honors your heart. Sometimes all, you know, we only look at the, you know, what is he saying? What is he doing? But God sees the heart. Is that all he knows at this point? Amen. So be doers of what you learn, and you will learn it better that way. Just putting head knowledge will not do you good when you're studying the Bible. And then give attendance to reading. 1 Timothy 4. Go back to the left there from James, before Hebrews. You have 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse 13. Till I come, till I catch up with you, till we meet up together again, Timothy, you need to give attendance. We'd say give attention. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What do you think those three things are, Killian?
Attention.
You think they are?
Reading of the Bible. I don't understand exhortation.
Preaching. Pay attention to somebody exhorting you.
Mm-hmm.
And then?
The doctrine of the Bible. The Bible says.
So you have three goals, or three focuses, three things that you're trying to do when you're studying the Bible. One is you're trying to give your attention to reading, constantly reading. Now, he doesn't just say reading only the Bible. Now, that's our first main thing. But read everything you can. So read. That's the goal is read. Secondly, listen to what other people have learned. That's exhortation. And then third, your goal is to learn truth. Give attention to learning truth. Not airy, fairy, fluffy, make me feel better things. But things that are rock solid truth. And that makes strong Christians, doesn't it? So those are the three things that we do when we read in the Bible. So read, and read your Bible. Just read and let it do the following. When you're reading your Bible, sometimes we study the Bible too much, I think. Sometimes. I sometimes get very upset at myself because I can't sit down just with my Bibles. I always have to have a notepad because I see something and I write something. And I know sometimes I need to just read my Bible. Because it will wash you. It's like an inside bath. When you read it, it will clean your thoughts and your conscience as you read it. Ephesians 5 says the washing of the water of the Word. It will also establish or stabilize and anchor you. Thirdly, it will speak to you. Let's go back to John chapter 8.
The answer is give attention to
reading.
To reading.
Yes. John 8:47. Allow God to speak to you as you read the Bible. 8:47 says this. He. Oh wait. 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's words. You don't hear your own words as, you know, you don't hear your own voice. You're listening to God's voice. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Look at chapter 10 and verse 27. Jesus says a little clearer, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So, let God, as you read the Bible, sit down and imagine God is talking right to you. Number D, then you can let him teach you. Because when you're finally listening to him, then he can say something that will teach you. Revelation 1:3. What is the fill in there? What do you think, Killian? Something is he that readeth. You don't have a fill in? It's already filled, it's already just as blessed?
Yeah.
Ah, sorry. Should be blessed is he that readeth, yes. Revelation 1:3, we don't have to go there then. God says, blessed is he that readeth the words of this book, the Revelation. So just read it and enjoy it. There are some practical suggestions that will help you do your reading. One, read regularly. To ensure good health, we generally have 3 meals each day. How often do we feed on God's words? 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Matthew 4:4. What does Matthew 4:4 say?
God, man does not live alone. Jesus said unto the devil, man does not live alone.
By bread alone.
By every word of God comes from the God.
Good.
Mouth of God.
So I've got to eat, feed, take in every word. Job 23:12 says, I have esteemed, I have valued, I have prized his words more than my necessary food. So more important than me eating is God's word. How often do we hear people say, I'm so busy today that I do not have to have time to eat lunch and supper? Well, they say quite a lot, and their health is pretty bad. You gotta take time to eat, and you gotta take time for your Bible. So read regularly. Perhaps you think you do not have time to read the Bible every day. Well, a man once made this excuse to a great evangelist named D.L. Moody. And Dwight Moody said, my friend, if you're too busy to read the Bible every day, you are busier than Almighty God ever intended any human being should ever be. And you better let some things go and take time to read the Bible.
You must have been busy.
That's good. So it's good to set aside a special time every day for your reading. Killian, when is your reading time?
Good morning.
Yeah, but it must be really early, right?
Sure. 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Yeah. Mine's usually 7. It just takes so long. If I can get up and get it done and started at 6:30, it's the best. But 7 is my slot. You gotta have a time. Sometimes it's at the end of the day, but what's the danger with waiting until the end of the day to read your Bible? You don't remember where you're going to sleep the whole time. So that's not a bad way to go to sleep, but you better read the Bible other times too. Many Christians, find the morning to be the best time because they can start the day by hearing from God. Others read in the evenings or during some quiet time during the day. Some others might wait until after the children are gone to school. You need to choose a time that works best for you. Read slowly. What really counts is not how much of the Word of God you go through, but how much of God's Word goes through you. Now, I know people who try to read the Bible through once a month. It takes 40 chapters a day to read the Bible through in a month. Is there anything wrong with that?
It's good to understand all the materials in the mind.
But if you read it through 12 times in a year, you'd think some of it would stick, wouldn't it? So that's a good thing. But sometimes our goals are mixed up. Which person would you rather be? The one who has read the Bible through 12 times and spent 2 hours each day doing that? Or the person who spent just an hour or 45 minutes and read 4 chapters or 3 chapters and they obeyed it? How do you obey 40 chapters of reading your Bible? How do you obey that? I don't know. I'd rather let the Bible go through me than me just go through the Bible. I've done that. The fastest I've ever read the Bible is twice in a year. And I've done that a couple of times. But some people have gone incredible. And I want you to enjoy reading the Bible slowly. It is much better to read and understand one verse than to read 3 chapters and not remember anything that you read. A little read with the understanding is better than much read that is read in haste. According to 1 Corinthians 4:19, Paul would probably want us to read 5 words with our understanding rather than 10,000 words so hastily we don't get anything out of our reading. Likewise, you can get more from the Lord in 5 minutes spent unhurriedly than in 35 minutes with your eyes on the clock. So, read systematically. First Corinthians 14:19. Do you know what that verse says? I would rather speak 5 words that are understood than 10,000 words. He spoke about speaking in tongues. But I think it can be applied. I would rather understand 5 words than understand 10,000, or than hear 10,000 that I don't understand. Now, systematically, what do you think that means to read something systematically, Romeo?
Read systematically. Take the Bible, take a paper, or a notebook, and do the regular reading, what chapter you're going to read, and date, and what it says. Read 10 verses first, and see what that word speaks to your heart, and get the points. Then write it, which is important. If it is really, you want to memorize the particular word, you can memorize, and get that into your practical life. That will give us strength for every day.
Indeed. Now, when I say read systematically, also it is a little bit of just taking and try to understand things in order. A new Christian. All right, wait. Let's see. Dominic is how old? Okay. Should we take Dominic, put him in the back, in the front of the car, behind the wheel, and teach him how to drive? No. Because that's out of order, isn't it? That's for much later. Should we teach him division in math?
Not yet.
No. It's not in order. So, when you're a Christian and you come to things that are not making sense, it's okay. You're trying to learn things like a baby that you need to learn right then. Learn it systematically. Many people do not know where to start reading their Bible. So they sometimes use the lucky dip method. they say, Lord, show me where you want me to read. And they randomly open their Bible and they start reading wherever the Bible happens to open. It's like this. I've seen them do it. They go, all right, Lord, show us in your great wisdom where you want us to read. And when he had come, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet.
Part of the west coming.
But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told her. Oh, Lord, thank you for this wonderful truth that we just... He didn't learn anything. So don't just jump in. Some people call it a lucky dip. And they make it into a good luck charm. B. To show you some of the dangers of the lucky dip method, consider the following instances. The story is told of a man who used this method. The first verse he happened to turn to was Matthew 27:5, which says, Judas went and hanged himself. Since he was not sure how the verse applied to himself, he flipped to another passage in the Bible and fell open to Luke 10:37. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. The man was quite upset, didn't know what to do, how he could ever obey that, so he decided to turn one more place, and again, he opened the Bible at random, and his finger fell upon John 13:27. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. As you can see, this method could easily cause a person to take many verses out of their context. So systematically, let me show you. When you read a short story, we generally start at the beginning and read through until we get to the end. This is how the writer wrote it. This is the best way to read it. Usually you read letters the same way. The same should be true with the books of the Bible. The best way to read is to start at the beginning of a book and continue until you get to the end. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, he did not write chapter 13 first and then chapter 8. He began with chapter 1 and then wrote chapter 2, etc. If you wrote it this way, shouldn't we read it this way? Have you ever thought of reading the Bible all the way through? Many believers have found this to be a great blessing. And to assist you in this, Bible reading schedules have been published, and most people can read the Bible through in 1 year if they read about a half hour each day. The Bible reading, maybe 40 minutes, most people are slower today. The Bible reading schedule will tell you how much to read each day, and see the Bible reading schedule at the end of this lesson. I haven't given you that yet, but I apologize. But start in Genesis. I tell new Christians to start in Matthew. Because especially here, most people are more familiar with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts than they are with Genesis, and they give up quickly. But after you've read the New Testament, then start back in Genesis and read all the way through from then on, all the way through again and again and again. The next thing, if you're studying your Bible, you need to read carefully, paying attention to each word. Pay close attention to every word. Do not overlook any details. Be a good detective and see what you can discover. Sometimes we miss what God has for us because we fail to see what is right before our eyes. Also, be careful not to let your mind start to daydream. To check this, you can always ask yourself, what did I just read? So pay attention to details and to tenses and to who's talking. Read lovingly. Think of a young woman in love with her fiancé who has separated her from her by many miles. How do you suppose she would read his love letters? As soon as the letter arrives in the mail, she would rip it open and quickly read it all the way through with great interest. Then she would read it again, this time very slowly. She would think about every word. She would lovingly meditate upon every phrase and think to herself, I wonder why he said this. Even after she finishes reading the letter, she would remember much of what was contained in the letter, and she would continue thinking about it throughout the day. Well, we need to read the Bible that way too. And if you think about it, is not the Bible God's letter to us? In 1 John chapter 4, you have so many times the love of God is mentioned.
About the belief.
Yes, it's about belief, but it's about herein is the love of God perfected when we love one another. It's over and over and over. This is perfect love. Love, perfect love casts out fear. Love, 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 love. It's a love letter. It's talking to us about love. Number 10. Read prayerfully. When was the last time you sat down and you just before you read, you said, Lord, speak to me. That's a good thing to pray. Depend upon the Holy Spirit to teach you. Make it a habit to pray before you read. Psalm 119, verse 18. Go there. Have you got that, Killian? Psalm 119, 18.
Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.
Right. Who's talking?
Jesus is talking.
Well, no, not quite. The writer of the book of Psalms is writing it.
King David, is it?
I'm not sure who wrote Psalm 119. He might have been David, it might have been somebody else, but whoever's writing it is praying and asking God to, he's writing the Word of God, but he's saying, open my eyes, that I may see, behold, and learn wondrous things out of thy law. That's a good thing to pray. When you sit down and you say, Lord, open my eyes, because are there times where our eyes are closed and we read it and we don't see anything? That's a very good thing. Pray. Some people, you know what most people do when it comes to studying the Bible? They know the mechanics of a word study. They know all of the materials, the commentaries, the Greek and the Hebrew and the derivatives and declensions and the accents and the Masoretic text references. But they've not prayed and say, Lord, teach me. They've not done basic things. Some people can do the laboratory study of the Bible, but they don't know how to labor in the heart study of the Bible. So read prayerfully. Why is this important? Because it is the Lord that gives understanding. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, the Lord gives understanding. When your time of reading is through, the real spiritual exercise has just begun. Now you need to go out and put into practice the truth you just read. J. Wilbur Chapman, a great evangelist, has given us the following suggestions for how we can get the most from the Word of God. Study it through. He said, never begin a day without mastering a verse from its pages. Pray it in. Never lay aside your Bible until the verse or passage you have studied has become part of your being. I like to read until I get something that just shakes me and says, boy, I needed that. Number 13, write it down. The truth that God teaches you, put it in the margin of your Bible or in your notebook. 14, work it out. Live the truth you get in the morning through each hour of the day. Pass it on. Seek to tell someone else what you have learned. 15, May the reading of God's holy word be a constant source of joy and delight to your heart. Listen to some of these phrases and sayings. Amy Carmichael said this: never let good books take the place of the Bible. Drink from the well, not from the streams that flow from the well. A lot of people write books about the Bible, but you're drinking from the streams that flow from the well. Drink from the well yourself. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thus on thy holy word, we live and feed and grow. Go on to know the Lord and practice what we know. It's by Anonymous. Don't know where that came from. I am standing on the word of God. 'Tis full of life divine. God's spirit lives in every word and moves in every line. Martin Luther said that he studied the Bible as he gathered apples. First, he shook the whole tree. He studied the Bible just like he gathered apples. First, he would shake the whole tree so that the ripest might fall. Then he climbed the tree and shook each limb. And then when he had shaken each limb, he shook every branch. After that, he examined every twig and looked under every leaf. In other words, search the Bible as a whole. Study each book, then study each chapter, study each verse, and then finally study each word. Sometimes we start in the opposite direction. But anyway, it's not how much of God's word you go through that counts, but how much of God's word goes through you. Another guy named Johann Bengel's three rules for Bible study. A, let the Bible be your source. Not books, not great men, not public opinion, but only and alone the whole Bible. Number B, read nothing into the Bible. This shows an unbiased and childlike way of studying scriptures. Just let the word says what it says. Number C, do not ignore anything in the Bible. For all scriptures given by inspiration of God. So I don't bring to the Bible what I think. And what I find in the Bible, even if I don't like it, I take it away. I accept it. All right, number F. Another thing that's important for learning your Bible is confess any revealed sin. Matthew 13. Verse 20. Confess any revealed sin. Look at these four soils here. We have one here. Verse 20. Imagine a soil and a man is throwing in seed. The seed is what? What is the seed described as? The four different soils. You have the seed being... God's word. The soil is our heart. Okay. So, he says... he that received the seed into stony places, that's his own life, the same as he that heareth the word and anon in time, with joy receiveth it. He's so excited. Yet hath he not root in himself. There's no space for the seed to take root, but dureth, we'd say endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, do you watch there? And I want you to see. He has stones. He has weeds. And it's stopping the seed from taking root. What do I do in order for the seed to bear root? I pull up the weeds. I get rid of the stones. And if I read my Bible and I see something that's stopping me from obeying the Bible, what do? I get rid of what's stopping me. That's confessing of our sin. Verse 22 goes on, and he said, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some to a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So only one of them produces fruit because he's got a simple life that just keeps... innocent, keeps clean. Not that he didn't sin, but anything that comes between him and God gets dumped. Sin in your heart will choke out the words that you're trying to learn. So confess and forsake every sin that you become aware of, or you're wasting your time. G, learn from the best teacher, it should say. And that's the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
John
16:13. Let's look at this. Learn from the best teacher. I know people who go to huge conferences and they'll spend big money flying to go hear some great teacher. Fair dues, you know, whatever you want to do.
Comforter for us.
Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to comfort us. And there's something, listen, you need a pastor, you need a teacher. We're supposed to be teachers of the gospel. It's all fine. But start with the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, teach you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Repeat. And he will show you things to come. So, pray constantly for God to open your eyes and your understanding to what you're reading. Ask him to show you things to come. Ask him to guide you through your confusion. Ask him for wisdom and understanding. Let him teach you the way he thinks best. Usually it's through trials and troubles instead of only by books and classes. Number H, ask questions. Now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Ask questions. Always go deeper than what you think. There are surface truths. John 3:16. Give me a surface truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten word, or begotten son. But what's a surface truth of that verse? What's right off the top? What's right there on the front of that verse?
God loved the world.
Another surface truth. That he gave his son. Yes. What's another surface truth? That whosoever believeth on him can be saved, not perish. Right? Those are surface truths. Are those good? That may be all you need. That's perfect. But are there deeper truths? That God had a son. That's a deeper truth. Do you understand? That God had a son. What's another deeper truth? What question can you ask from John 3:16?
Well, the only thing you need to get saved is belief.
Okay, what is it that... Good, belief. But that's... Okay, but my question, my deeper question would be, what is belief? Mm-hmm. Now you're going deeper than just the surface. So what's another question from John 3:16? Why did God love the world? Why did he love it? We know he did. That's the how. Ask yourself why. What's another deeper question from John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's another question that you should ask about that verse so that you learn more than just superficial or surface truths? What happens to those that don't believe? See, we brush right by that. We jump to eternal life. What does perish mean? Now, when you ask yourself a question from just one verse, now you're starting to learn. Because most people, they can quote John 3:16, but they've never experienced it. They've never understood it. They still think, well, I gotta be good, I've gotta keep the law, I'm trying to do my best, and yeah, I know God loves me, he loves everybody. And they've never realized, I must be born again, because that's in the chapter of being born again. And that God so loved so that we could be born again. He made it possible for us to be born again. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. So ask loads of questions. Every time you're studying, ask the questions. Romans 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Right? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What does that imply? Killian, what does that imply? Or what does that tell you about what can be learned about God?
That we can never understand fully how he is.
Okay, that's a very negative. Can you turn that into a positive? Because somebody might say, well, I can't understand him, why try? It implies that there's always more that can be learned. Somebody stands up and preaches a great message and teaches such great truth. You know what you can conclude? There's still more. Okay? That's the truth. Oh, there, it's like if you found a vein of gold in your back garden. You know that it's going to run out. But what if it couldn't? What if it was fathomless? What if it was limitless? That's a pretty good vein. Well, that's what we got when we come to the Bible. So always ask questions. You say, I've already taught on Jonah. I've already read this. I've already studied this. Put your studies away and start over and read it again, and you'll see new things. You'll always learn and just allow yourself to always learn fresh stuff. Number four, God gives us hard things to understand so that we may mature and grow as we understand those deeper things. Matthew 13. All these things Jesus spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, oh, wait, verse 13:35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So in those two verses, what you got is Jesus, he spoke his parables for a purpose. It was so that they would ponder them and then come to him and say, show me what you meant by that. Teach me more. Jesus could have just said, guys, I'm going to go die on the cross. He could have just said that, right? That would have been weird, because it almost would be like him saying, guys, come get me, take me to the cross and kill me, like he was trying to make sure they fulfilled the prophecies. So instead he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. They're like, what does he mean? Think about it. Think long and hard. What do I mean by what I say? I'm not just saying things. And a lot of people make huge mistakes and misunderstandings because they don't question, don't go, I know what he said. What did he mean by what he said? Ask yourself, what did God say? What did he mean by what he said? One time in the book, I don't remember whether it was in Isaiah or whatever, God says this, come to Bethel and transgress. Bethel was the house of God. Why would God invite people to come to the church and to sin? You better ask yourself, why is he saying that? There's some great reasons why he said it. But, I mean, wow. Better ask yourself why he said it before you go, I guess we can go to church and sin. No, it's not that at all, okay? Ask yourself. I wish I could go through all these verses. I have to leave here. I have to quit here. Let me just get through. Search for greater truths, for the wiser wisdom of God than what you currently know. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. We'll probably review some of these or rehearse some of these things again next week. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear, bend your ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to all them that walk uprightly. But he gives it, but he doesn't put it on a plate and put it in front of you. He expects you to go looking for it and to want to find it. Okay? All right. We got to stop there because verse number six actually is kind of important when we're reading, asking questions. But the most important way that you will ever learn the Bible is to ask questions as you're reading. And write down those questions and look up the answers. Because John 3:16 has got at least 20 more things than just the three that we list. God so loved, God gave his son, anybody can be saved just by believing. There's more to it than just those three, aren't there? So, alright, let's pray and finish up. Father, I thank you again for your word, and I pray for just the right way to study our Bible, to learn the Bible. It's funny how a lot of people come to the Bible and they get discouraged, they fall out, they quit, or they make up their mind that they've already learned enough. God, it's a lifelong search for treasure, and we're rewarded every time we look. We just need to come with the right heart and with the right tools and with the right ways, Lord. And I pray that our time of study is built upon a time just reading. It's built upon a time hungry for you, hungry to hear your voice. I look forward to seeing you one day, but until then, it'll be enough just to hear your voice. I pray that you bless our day, give us safety and, Lord, opportunity to be a witness for you, and God, watch over our families. Thank you for the gifts that you give us in these, in our children, our wives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.